Next case.
Number 12,557, Key Properties Group, LLC, Elmer G. Fannin, seeks variances from the front yard setback requirements and the landscape buffer requirement in the combined highway corridor overlay zone for existing and proposed structures, section 115.82, 115.182, 115.194.1 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the northeast side of Coastal Highway, Route 1, approximately 546 feet southeast of Kings Highway. 911 address is 18315 18321 and 18327 Coastal Highway, and 34670, 34673, 34677, 34682, 34703, 34704 Villas Circle, Lewis. The zoning district is C1 General Commercial, and the tax parcels are District 334, MAP 6.00, parcels 74.00, 75.00, and 70.01, a portion of it. Staff would note that case number 11,883 was approved on November 21st, 2016. For a variance of 27.26 feet from the 60-foot front yard setback and a 10-foot reduction in the buffer requirements in the combined highway corridor overlay zone. That approval has since lapsed. They are seeking that same 27.26-foot front setback variance from the 60-foot front yard setback for that original building, and then a new building with a proposed variances of 31.28 feet from the 60-foot front for proposed entry, 27.28 feet variance from the 60-foot front for existing structure, 26.29 feet from the 60-foot front for a proposed addition, and a 5-foot variance from the 20-foot landscape buffer requirement in the combined highway corridor overlay zone. There are 0 letters of support, 1 letter of opposition, and 2 mail returns.
Is the applicant present?
Mark Davidson, 18072 Davidson Drive, Will, Delaware, 11668.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Good evening.
Good evening.
For the record, my name is Mark Davidson. I'm a principal land planner with Pannoni Associates. I'm here this evening representing the applicant, Mr. Elmer Fannin, who is the owner of Key Properties LLC, which is the owners of parcels 74 and 75. The project team, for the purposes of the documents that have been submitted for this application tonight, are Meerstone Consultants, who are the engineers and surveyors for the project, in Design Delmarva, who are the architects for the project. The properties are located on the northeast side of Coastal Highway, just south of Kings Highway, outside of Lewis, Delaware. And as was introduced, the properties are currently zoned C1 General Commercial under the zoning code. Mr. Fannin is proposing to use and renovate the existing buildings on both properties as restaurants. The properties are broken up into 3 parcels at this time. The first parcel is being parcel 74, which is approximately, is the red not working here? Anyway, parcel 74, is this located right here? It's approximately 0.33 acres in size, and it has approximate dimensions of 125 feet along the frontage of Coastal Highway and 116 and a half feet back. The second parcel is parcel 75, and is approximately 0.55 acres. There's approximately 30 feet. This property, parcel 75, kind of wraps around parcel 74 at this time. There's approximately 30 feet here, parcel 74. There's approximately about 105 feet along the frontage, and it's about 160 feet deep, and the total frontage, the total width in the back is approximately 239 feet. And then the third parcel is a portion of 70.01, which is owned by the Villas at Bay Crossing, which Mr. Fannin has executed an agreement to lease with the option to purchase approximately 0.3 acres of the land for use as parking for the restaurants. And that property is highlighted. Anyway, it's highlighted right here. And currently, it's existing parking for the Villas at Bay Crossing. They've found that they've had excessive parking within their condominium, so they have agreed to lease with the purchase, with the option to purchase. And I submitted a front page to that with the application for the hearing, and I understand that I do have a full copy here I can submit as part of the record. I'll hand that to Mr. Sharp. Okay.
Thank you.
That's the full lease option there with the purchase, and it kind of explains how Mr. Fannin has the right to use the property for parking for his proposed uses. During site planning and after the purchase of parcel 70.01 from Bay Crossing, the properties will be combined and into one property. Mr. Fannin is asking for two variances this evening. The first variance being sought is from section 115-82B, depth of the required front yard setback of 60 feet. And the second variance is from the provisions of section 115-194.1E3, combined highway corridor overlay zone, for the required 20-foot landscape buffer. As was introduced in the beginning, this property was the subject of a previous Board of Adjustment approval, case number 11883, back in November of 2016, for essentially the same two variance requests, the front yard and the 20-foot highway corridor overlay zone. Back then, the request was for the larger building that's located on parcel 75, seeking the minimum variance from the front yard setback, as the smaller building on 74 was going to be demolished at that time. The second variance that was part of that case was for was 10 feet from the required 20-foot highway corridor overlay zone buffer. The smaller building was going to be demolished at that time in order to accommodate for additional parking for the larger building that was going to be proposed as the restaurant. Mr. Fannin did seek final approvals from the agencies. He has had building permits for the buildings, and for the larger building on parcel 75, and a limited building permit for the cosmetic upgrades for the smaller building on parcel 74. Construction and improvements have been being made to both buildings on site. And this application, or this property, was kind of was subject to a little bit of confusion because he was issued building permits. He did get final site plan approval for the use on the property, but at the time I believe the variance did expire, so he has begun construction out there, and we're here to clean up these variances. If you see that they are favorable at this time. Again, as I previously stated, since the time of the first variance approval, Mr. Fannin has worked out a lease to use and purchase a small portion of the adjacent property from the Villas at Bay Crossing to use for parking for the restaurants. This has allowed him to convert the smaller building on parcel 74 to a restaurant as well. Mr. Fannin is proposing an Italian restaurant where the main restaurant will be used for dining in, and the smaller building will be used as a happy hour style restaurant with outside seating as well as open air seating within the building. So the main building, he's projecting to, it'll be inside dining, casual dining on the inside of that building. And because of what the effects of what we've been going through with the pandemic, he figured that having an outside seating venue for his restaurant was necessary. So keeping the smaller building and adding on to it for with outdoor seating, he's going to add a patio. As you can see on the site plan that I've submitted here,
There is, he's got, there's a patio out back here. There are, an addition that he's going to add on to the existing house, but that's going to be an open-air building that he's going to have with garage doors. That way, he can open up the doors and be able to, it'll sort of, it'll be inside, but it'll be outside type of dining. There'll only be one kitchen for the property, and that'll be in the main building. All food prep services and everything else will be done in the main building. And this build, and the smaller building, again, is, will be for outdoor dining and sort of like a happy hour lounge type of feel that'll complement the Italian restaurant in the main building. The variance, again, we are seeking tonight are for the front yard setback for both the buildings as well as this, as well as a smaller reduction of the 20-foot highway corridor overlay zone that was asked for from the first variance. So I'm going to start with the front yard setback. Two existing buildings along Coastal Highway are close to the same setback, 32.72 feet on for the smaller building on parcel 74 and 32.77 feet for the larger building on parcel 75. There's only a difference of about 0.05 foot, which is about 5/8 inches. The variance request was to be for 27.28 feet for both buildings, but it appears that since we do have two separate buildings with two different setbacks. We are asking for two different setbacks or two different variances for each one of the buildings. So the building on parcel 74, we are asking for 27.28 feet. And then the building on parcel 75, we are asking for 27.23 feet in order to keep to the minimum variance for the properties. With that, I submitted with for the record as a separate set for the criteria for the variances. So I'm going to go through the criteria for the variances just for parcels 74 and 75 as it pertains to the front yard setback. So there's the uniqueness of the property. The unique condition of this site is that the buildings are existing, and they were constructed back in the 40s and 50s, which predates not only the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance in 1968, but the adoption of the quarter highway capacity overlay zone back in January 30th of 1996, and therefore is considered a pre-existing non-conforming building. The buildings were once single-family residences. The building on parcel 75 was converted to a professional office, which was Mr. Fannin's Country Life Homes back in the early 1990s. Single-family dwellings along Coastal Highway Delaware Route 1 quarter have diminished given the nature of the area, the uses, the traffic, and zoning of properties. The parcel's minimum site areas in relatively shallow depths of 116.5 for parcel 74 and 160 for parcel 75 minimize the ability to develop the property with a use customary to the parcel's C1 zoning while still providing the required parking, loading, landscape buffers, stormwater management, et cetera, and with the expansion of the highway right-of-way over the years has a setback from the existing right-of-way of 32.72 for parcel 74 and 32.77 for parcel 75. Number two, cannot otherwise be developed. Approximately 28 feet of the buildings would have to be demolished to bring the buildings into conformity. That would pretty much eliminate the entire building on parcel 74. The intent of this plan is to renovate and use the existing structures as part of a new restaurant as permitted under the parcel C1 zoning. Without the requested variance, the parcel's minimum area and depth of 160 feet limits the ability to provide the necessary building, parking, loading, and landscape buffers and stormwater management while still enabling a reasonable use of the property. Number three, not created by the applicant. The buildings were purchased by the appellant, and the building on parcel 75 was renovated in the past to be used for professional office as allowed under the C1 zoning ordinance.
The applicant wants to use both existing buildings for a restaurant that is also allowed under the C1 zoning ordinance. Will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. On this exhibit here, you can see where Mr. Fannin's properties are, as well as the parcel that he's purchasing from Bay Crossing. And just down, just south of the property, two parcels down, there's the existing Atlantic Kitchen and Bath, and you can see how that building, it was an existing residential dwelling at one time and converted into a commercial use, all under the C1 zoning code, and how it's been converted into commercial. And then I showed two buildings across the street, which is part of the American Cedar and Millwork. Again, houses converted into commercial uses, sitting very close to the coastal highway. So we don't feel that that this proposed uses of the restaurants will not alter the character of the neighborhood. Again, the subject properties were granted a variance from the front yard setback back in November 21st, 2016. The building was the subject of a commercial site plan approval application, S-1708, by Planning and Zoning on January 11th, 2019, for the proposed restaurant use, which is currently, again, under construction. Minimum variance, the site plan submitted with the application shows the minimum variance needed for the front setback reduction of the existing buildings. No improvements to the buildings will be requested to encroach within the existing setback shown. The next variance we are seeking is five feet from the 20-foot combined highway corridor overlay zone, which is described as a landscape buffer along the frontage of the property. Again, the previous variance was for 10 feet, so we've been able to capture back 5 feet, and now we're only asking for 5 feet for the variance this time. The purpose of the combined highway corridor overlay zoning district is to provide for the continued and efficient use of existing roadways and emergency evacuation routes to preserve and enhance the aesthetic and visual character of land use contiguous to those roadways and to provide for orderly development in Sussex County. The requirements and guidelines contained in the chapter are to encourage a positive visual experience of development of land along the corridors and provide safe access and turning movements for vehicular and pedestrian traffic, especially during an emergency evacuation. The properties are designed with only one entrance, which has been approved by DLDOT and is under construction at the time. The existing commercial property used to have three entrances, so two entrances were abandoned, and now all three properties will have one entrance for the entire site. There is a pedestrian sidewalk along the entire frontage of the property. The 5-foot reduction will allow for the site to accommodate additional utility extensions within the property, as well as additional drainage features along the frontage of the property to help control stormwater runoff. The 15-foot highway corridor overlay zone will also coincide with the 15-foot permanent easement that has been dedicated to the state of Delaware. And I show in this exhibit here how DLDOT has required a 15-foot permanent easement across the frontage, and then the 20-foot corridor overlay zone shares that easement with DLDOT's permanent easement. They have no, DLDOT hasn't signified what they need that easement for, but nonetheless, on every project now within the state of Delaware, when you're doing a project, you have to dedicate a 15-foot permanent easement across the frontage of your property. The plantings within the 15-foot easement buffer will adhere to not only sections 115.195.1E6 landscape requirements of the county code, but also the DLDOT roadside vegetation concept. And planning manual, which DLDOT allows within their 15-foot permanent easement. I have brought with me, and I'll submit for the record, I didn't print out all 90 pages of DLDOT's planning requirements, but I did plant Appendix B. Appendix B outlines pretty much the types of plants that are allowed within their 15-foot permanent easement and the size of the plantings, which all will meet the minimum requirements that are spelled out in the county code for landscaping within the highway corridor overlay zone. So the criteria for the variance for all three parcels as it pertains to the combined highway corridor overlay zone, the uniqueness of the property. The unique physical circumstance of the property is the shallowness of the parcels at 11650 for parcel 74 and 160 for parcel 75, and the connection of the portion of parcel 7001 with the limited width to parcel 74 and 75 for parking along the dedication of the 15-foot to the Del Dot for a permanent easement creates limited space for handling additional drainage and utility placement. So the additional 5 feet will allow the property to be able to provide for the additional runoff. Some of the runoff that is being handled within the property comes in through the entrance and will work its way along the frontage of the property here. And as you will see, in between this property here, there's no parking within in front of these buildings. So this will all be grass green there and also be able to allow to handle stormwater runoff coming in from the entrance, off the sidewalk, and through the property. Cannot otherwise be developed. In order to provide sufficient parking, additional drainage, and placement of utilities, as well as safe access and turning movements for vehicular traffic, a 5-foot variance from the quarter highway capacity overlay zone buffer is necessary to develop the property that conforms to the zoning ordinance. Not created by the applicant. The applicant has redesigned the site to remove parking spaces outside of the front yard setbacks in front of both the buildings, and has eliminated two additional commercial entrances to create one single entrance to provide safe access and turning movements within the properties. In so doing, Del Dot is required that the applicant dedicate 15 feet of his entire road frontage to the permanent easement for Del Dot's unforeseen use in the future. This leaves limited space along the front of the properties to provide for, the additional drainage and the utilities. Will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. There's sufficient room to provide for the necessary landscaping required within the 15 feet that will also meet the requirements and therefore will exceed the landscaping that is currently located on the adjacent parcels. In my previous application, when we were granted the 10 foot, we were able to get the landscaping to work within the 10 foot wide. So this additional 5 feet, we definitely can get the required landscaping to work along this 15 foot quarter overlay along the entire frontage. In the minimum variance, the site plan submitted along with the landscape plan concept submitted tonight will show that the 5-foot variance is the minimum necessary to provide the required landscaping that will preserve and enhance the aesthetics and the visual character of the proposed restaurants along the coastal highway. And with that, with my presentation and a couple of handouts that I, for the record, that's my presentation for tonight. And glad to answer any questions.
Any questions? Yes, sir.
The number of parking spaces that we have two structures that would and I'm going to say 74, the small building. The number of, maybe it's a question for the county, I don't know. I mean, there's a, in terms of occupancy, are the parking spaces that you're planning for, I would assume, the correct number necessary for the occupancy that is planned?
Well, the goal here is to get back in front of planning and zoning, because under 115-164, planning and zoning can grant a waiver of the parking requirements if they see that it's not necessary to have that many parking spaces. There are 79 parking spaces proposed for the two uses of the site. So, but before they could get back before the planning commission to ask for that, they had to, they were redirected to this body to seek the variances that we are requesting for tonight.
What's the anticipated occupancy of both buildings?
There's, the anticipated occupancy of both buildings requires that the parking spaces be around 107. Now, I can tell you that the way Mr. Fannin is setting up his, this restaurant is, on the site plan, I can blow the site plan up. He's got a portico coming out front here. His idea of this restaurant came from his many times down in Florida where they have restaurants that are set up with using Uber and alternate transportation to get to the site. So that is, that's his concept for this, is being able to use, he's setting his restaurant up, and again, given wherever we land after, you know, after all these restrictions are lifted and everything for the pandemic, you know, to go, you know, take out and to go, and his ability to be able, he wants to try, he states that 30% of a lot of the restaurants that he is setting this up after, they all use different ulterior motives for transportation, such as Uber, Lyft, even the DART system. He's going to promote using the park and ride, and he's going to have certain specials and things like that that are going to cater to the park and ride so that people can park in Lewis at the new park and ride facility there and be able to get to his restaurant. So he's working all that out. And again, that, those are, that's something that he's going to be presenting before the Planning and Zoning Commission.
So given those comments and with folks being dropped off and then picked up a percentage.
Yes.
Then according to the plan that you have, where we have a single entrance to the property, so then if I'm looking at your diagram correctly, then when you come into the property, you would bear to the right, looks to be a driveway.
That is correct, yes.
That would come, and then those vehicles then have to pull some type of a UE in order to come back out?
Sure, yes. There's plenty of room there to be able to make a U-turn to come back out of the site.
Early in your presentation, you also stated that the kitchen facilities or the food prep area would be in the larger building, 75.
That is correct.
And that the building on the left, 74, would have an open air type of a concept, and so I'm assuming that orders would be placed, and that personnel are going to be coming from the building on the right to building on the left. Is that correct?
As it was explained to me, yes, that's the concept that he's going with, yes.
Okay, is there, so here's what I'm envisioning. I'm envisioning people pulling in, being dropped off, cars coming in, and a wait staff coming across from right to left, and from left to right, from a vehicular standpoint.
Again, I believe the majority, the way it was explained, that the smaller building is going to be more of a bar lounge, happy hour type setup. Not a lot of food service is going to be provided there, more of a lounge area. What food service is going to provide is going to be very limited. I don't know if you're talking, you know, I'm not sure what type of food you're talking about.
I don't
but
either.
Nothing that's going to be, it's not going to be the same menu or the same style of food that will be offered in the main restaurant. So it's more of being able to, because there's limited area within the larger building to be able to do outdoor dining of any kind and to be able to offer this open air type to be able to cater to whatever happens in the future, but that's...
Okay, so if I'm hearing it correctly, then you don't foresee wait staff going from the building on the right to the building on the left?
I don't think it'll be wait staff, no.
Okay. Thank you.
On the, can we go back to the aerial photo, please? When this was marked originally, you showed the Atlantic Millwork, I think it is, and then you had something right next to it. What are the two directly north and directly south? What are those businesses? 76?
76 is a the professional office building. And then on the north side, I believe, is Lazy Susan's. And there might be some offices there as well.
There's an influx of restaurants there. I know Bethany Blues is in that area also. I was just curious. Any other questions?
I'm still, you know, when I go to happy hour, I want an appetizer. So the appetizer's got to be in the kitchen. And the wait staff's got to go across the parking lot with cars coming in. That's, Dr. Carson said that, and I really kind of rang a bell to me here, how that would work. Because he said there used to be three entrances to those two properties. Now we're down to one, which is understandable. But I'm just having trouble with that in my mind.
And again, I'm not understanding the food service business and how this is going to operate.
Me either.
Just under the understanding that that's because he was trying to create some kind of an open environment for people who now just want to sit outside and want to be able to sit out in open air dining or open air atmosphere. There's not enough room within the existing building there to be able to create its own kitchen, a dishwashing area. It might have limited food prep area. And again, what that means, Mr. Fannin didn't share with me the menu that he was looking at. He didn't share with me. He talked about possibly, just as you said, appetizer foods and how you prepare those. I don't know, but it will not be a full kitchen. Is what he did state. Anything big and anything that has to do with that would be done over. And I really don't foresee a lot of back and forth. If he can do something limited within the existing building that he's got, he probably will. I don't know if that's nachos, if it's some kind of fried food. You can do a couple of fryers. You don't have to have a kitchen. Do a couple of fryers and do fried type appetizers, microwaves. Very
that's
limited.
All, that's all I could do.
Yeah, very limited, small type kitchen, but it's not going to be a full kitchen because there's just not enough room. When you have to provide the required amount of bathrooms, per the code, and then you got to bring that building up to code, it's a very small building.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
For both buildings, the existing buildings, I just want to understand this and kind of for the record, you are going no closer with the additions than what is already there with the existing.
That is correct.
Correct?
That is correct.
Good evening. Do you know whether he has talked yet to whichever agency in the state licenses restaurants to see their thoughts about this plan?
That would probably be the Board of Health.
Yeah.
And he would have to address those. He would have to address the Board of Health prior to. He did get a building permit, so I imagine he did get his Board of Health approval for the restaurant. So, I would think that. I'm working on a couple of restaurants right now myself, and I know we have to go to the Board of Health to get the approval prior to getting our building, prior to building code, getting us our approval. We have to get a Board of Health approval. So.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Mr. Sharp?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Looking at this, you said there were 79 spaces.
Yes.
Now, are those spaces all on 74 and 75, or do those include the ones on 70.01?
70.01 as well.
Okay. And I haven't seen it, but I think your representation was that your client has a lease option basically to buy that.
That is correct, yes.
Is it his anticipation that he would purchase that before these buildings were complete?
I believe he is under the assumption. He had told me that it appears, instead of, his option was to lease it year to year, but evidently it has changed to the fact now that he is purchasing that piece of property next door. So prior to occupancy of that building, he will probably own all three parts at that time.
When is this proposed to go to planning and zoning?
That I'm not sure of. As soon as, I guess, once a decision here is made, I believe it will most likely be scheduled.
The 15-foot easement to Delta, has that already been taken?
It is on the it's on the site plan that has been approved for the property, yes.
So, you know, looking at the document you gave us, the wall with the green on it, there's a property line there, and then it says, and it's just tough to read. Is that the 15-foot?
Yes, that's.
Okay, so is that going to be a permanent easement, or is that going to be deeded over to?
No, it's a permanent easement.
Okay, all right. So it'd still be your lands, but they just have the right of way over it.
That's correct. Yes.
All right. Okay. So the variance is going to be from beyond where that 15-foot is. Is that right? So like. We're not going from where the 15-foot easement is. It's the setback isn't from that. You're going to be looking at from the road or the road.
Correct. The 15 feet is from will be within that 15-foot permanent easement.
And then from your front property line, I think you testified that there's a sidewalk between that and the road.
That is correct. Yes.
And I think there's some steps to the front of the building I saw, so I think we would need variances for those also, because they would appear to project a little further from the dwelling, from the buildings.
As I recall, the code reads that as long as it's not covered, it may project within the setback.
Once it goes beyond what the setback, because you're allowed to project, I think it's 5 feet. Once you've gone, the building is beyond that. You don't get the 5 foot protection anymore. You're going beyond what is permitted. So we would need variances for those also. And I guess just to make sure I'm clear on the record, I think you talked about this before. When the applicant came before the board a couple of years ago, 2016, the dwelling on the south side of the property, southeast side of the property, that was going to be built, I think, in a similar fashion to what is proposed here, correct?
Yes.
But the dwelling to the building, I should say, to the north side of the property was not going to be there. But I think what you're saying is now you've got the parking on the adjacent property now, so that's kind of why you're able to save that building.
That is correct, yes.
All right, I have no further questions. Thank you.
Any further from the board? Is there anyone present that is in favor of this application? Is there anyone present who is in opposition of this application? Would you like to speak?
I would like to hear, sir.
Just 1 second here. Yes. No problem.
May I take off my mask?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Good evening.
And thank you very much, all of you, for letting me address you.
You can get just one insert. Can you state your name and address for the record?
My name is Gary Janowski. Address? Mm-hmm. Mailing address is 5012 Morningstar Drive, Dayton, Maryland.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for letting me address you. I live at I have owned a property at 3467 Villa Bay Circle, and that is connects directly to this property. I have a couple things that I think I heard tonight that aren't quite correct. The property does not have a document signed for to buy the property. According to everybody at Villa Bay, it is if any one owner objects to that property sale, it cannot be sold. When the vote was taken back in May, June, July of 2020, I opposed that along with five or six of my other co-owners. So it cannot be sold as it is right now, and our main objection was price. A long-term lease could be developed, but it would have to be developed by the board of our condos. I don't know whether they're in the working of that or not. This is the first time I've seen this draft in this thing. Some of the variances that you granted back in 2016, I either wasn't notified, it doesn't make any difference whether I was notified, I did not come to the meeting. I would have opposed it at that time. Now I am opposing this because setbacks are for common good of the general public, safety, and aesthetics. I think this will take away from our neighborhood, and definitely I would be opposed to their outside dining, and I'm afraid somewhere along the line, if they're parking on the part of Villas of Bay Crossing, that they would come, they would be driving through our neighborhood. That would be a big obstacle for us. There's no barrier from that parking lot into our entrance. There are children in there, many people. I would think that would be one thing. I'm opposed to the variance. Got a variance in 2016, didn't move on it, and now it has expired. These variances will not give the, including the one building, but also a second building variance. And I think it should be either more explored, a greater explanation to the neighborhood, and then also to the board. And I thank you for your time. Any questions for me?
Any questions for the gentleman?
If I can make one other statement. This gentleman on the far left, Jeff, I understand your concern about going back and forth about in the parking lot. And I'm not against restaurants. I always like a nice restaurant. And it would be, you know, as long as in public safety and aesthetics of the neighborhood. Any other questions for me?
Sir, just so I'm clear where you live, you're in the directly behind the proposed parcel or proposed?
Okay, yes, sir. If you go right there where the lake is,
okay,
it's that right there. I live in it. I own that building, a part of that building.
I see.
It's
thank
probably
you.
Like eight condos in that building, might be six.
Okay.
Mine is 504. It's a lovely community.
Are those other condos right there even closer on Villa Drive?
They are even closer, yes, sir.
Do you have an approximation of how far that would be from the back of that?
Okay, let's see. I'll do my estimate. Parking space is probably like 20 feet, 40 feet, maybe 60 feet. I'm saying one parking spot for a car, about 20 feet long. That's my guess.
I understand your concern here because I'm now seeing that and looking at them both together.
Well, and you understand the outside venue that they may be exposed to. And if you give them that variance, they won't have to come back to anybody. At least have some kind of body regulating. That's all I'm asking.
Any other questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you all very much for allowing me to address you. And you all have a great day.
You too. Thank you. We can have the applicant come back up real quick.
hearing with this gentleman just said, would you have any response to that?
As far as I know, in relationship to the lease and the purchase, in the lease it talks about that the lease can be renewed, it sounds like to me, every year until my client, the applicant, can purchase the property. It does give the figures within the lease on how much the yearly lease is versus what he would pay for the property. Mr. Fannin did explain to me that he was contacted by the homeowners association, maybe the president of the condo association, and was expressed the interest that they would like to go ahead and sell that. And so he did share with me that he was in the process of possibly purchasing that property. As far as connection to the property is connected through a drive aisle. The site plan that I've submitted does show that the parking spaces will be connected to parcels 74 and 75. So there will be straight access through. As far as connection to the bay crossing property, that does still show that there is cross access to their parking, to their facility in the back. Somewhat like the, just south of this property, Bethany Blues. To get into Bethany Blues, there is a cross access easement and there is a connection from the bay crossing entrance into Bethany Blues. But the primary access to our site is from our property. And you would have to go past our property, you would have to go into bay crossing to be able to circumnavigate through. And I don't think I think people would want to get to the property as quickly as possible rather than try to go through any type of a development to get to that property. I can't attest to what they determine at a board of at one of their board meetings as to the right to be able to use the parking spaces or not. That building in the back is probably, I would say, about 70 to 80 feet back. He is correct. The parking spaces are 20 feet long. The drive aisle is 25 feet. There is a little small little grass buffer between the back of our property and their first parking space. And of course, they have probably a 10-foot setback. So it's probably around 70, 75 feet from the back. Again, the concept of the restaurant belongs to Mr. Fannin. That's his ideas. It's the way he wants to set up the use of his restaurant. He's the only one that's going to tell whether he's going to be successful or not to be able to offer the open air part of it that's connected. He did state, and I did fail to say this in my presentation, the open air part is seasonal. It will be a seasonal part of his plan to utilize the property. It's not going to be a year-round fair for the smaller building on 74. So, but the larger building will be year-round. It'll be a year-round Italian restaurant. So, I think that addresses everything he had stated.
Any further questions, Mr. Sharp? Any questions?
I have none other than just an observation. I've got the lease with the option of purchase in front of me, and it has an initial lease term that began July 1st of last year, and it says that it shall expire on June 30th, 2025, and then I quote, if landlord has not obtained the unit owner consents required to remove the property from the condominium plan for the villas at Bay Crossing within the initial term of this lease, the lease shall continue thereafter until the property has been legally removed from the condominium and sold to the tenant. That's what it actually says in there. I've never quite seen something like that, but I'll reserve further comment on it. But that is what it says. I do note, Mr. Davidson, also that the copy that we have has a significant amount of typos. It looked like maybe it was a transposing type issue. It looks like some font type issue. So there's some just kind of throughout. So I don't know if that's on the original one or just as perhaps an effort to try to redact the copy that we have, because there's a significant amount of what appears to be perhaps a formatting type issue.
I can hand you. It doesn't look like it. Must have been on a, must have been a copying issue, so I can.
Yeah, I'll give you an example here. It's like on section one, it says Q1JDLQ1'. So just looks like maybe there's a formatting. It's throughout, but that's an example of one. Yeah. Yeah, so that would be the, I don't know why that would be. I don't know, maybe it got copied or PDF'd or what, but we've got them kind of throughout, like state loyalty as opposed to route one.
That's it.
Yeah, you just thumb through, you can see it. But you could look at pretty much any paragraph and you'll see something.
Okay.
All right. Ms. Norwood, we'll.
Unless you wrote something down here.
I did not write anything. Okay. I don't know if the board members did. We typically don't touch that. So.
Okay.
Thank you for giving us a complete record. I have nothing further.
Okay. Sir, just give us a second here.
Okay.
Tom, not you. Give me a minute here.
Thank you again for letting me come up. A copy of that lease was only the front page was in the pamphlets. Can I get a copy of that was presented that we're talking about?
So, sure, you certainly can. It's submitted into the public record. What we've done is the copy that he initially gave us has typos. We pulled that one. He's given us.
Like I said, in the paper pamphlet, there's only one page. So.
Well, that was all that was submitted at that time.
Okay, yes, so can I get a copy of that?
I'm sure staff can get you a copy if you wish.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Sorry about that.
Is there anyone else present that is in opposition of this application? Operator?
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. Again, if anyone on the line is in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. At this time, there are no pending comments.
Thank you. Are there any further questions?
I have a question for counsel. Is it possible to make the variance conditional on purchase of the property?
You could do that. Now, the thing I think that's a challenge here, just based on looking at that lease with an option to purchase, is that there's some requirements. I'm not privy to the condo documents and what their regulations are, so I don't know if and when they're able to execute a contract for that. What we have right now is a lease with an option to purchase that seems to be in perpetuity. I think that poses some questions there. I think what you could do is you could condition it upon final site plan approval, including approval of any parking plan, and perhaps that it be effective so long as there's parking available on that parcel 70.01 in whatever fashion it may be, whether it's an easement, a lease, or a purchase. I think you could do that. But to put a contingent on the purchase of that may be a challenge just because we have a 2-year limitation on our decisions, and just reading the documents, I don't know if that would be consummated within that period of time.
No further questions.
I will close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Do we need some more time to think about it?
Has anything been scheduled with Planning and Zoning Commission on this case?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Has anything been scheduled?
No, planning. Not at this time. It'd be pending.
Is it possible that we could leave the record open so that for the possibility of the owner of the property coming and testifying for us?
You could do that. We would probably want to leave it open just in general then, so that way, you know, the opposition or supporters would also have a similar chance to testify, particularly based on whatever the applicant's testimony may be.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we table case number 12557 and that the record be left open.
So we would not be tabling it then, because that would mean the record would be closed. You would be leaving the record open and rescheduling it for a hearing to, you know, whatever date.
Then I make a motion to table case number 12557.
Leave the record closed.
Leave the record closed.
Second.
Motion and a second. Mr. Warfel?
Nay.
Mr. Corman?
Aye.
Dr. Carson?
Aye.
And I too. So with a vote of 3-1, case number 12557 has been tabled to our next meeting. That would be
June 7th.
What that means for both the applicant and the opposition is that the record is closed. The board will not entertain any additional comments or submissions, but it will be on the agenda as old business for the board to discuss and vote on the application.
We are going to take a 5-minute recess.
Okay.